You're listening to a Monster Kid podcast.
G'day and welcome to A Dingo Ate My Movie. It's a podcast that celebrates the weird and wonderful world of Australian film from the 70s, 80s and beyond. As ever, I'm your host Pete, and today I'm joined by Bede from the Super Network. And today we've got something a little bit different, haven't we, Bede?
Yeah, indeed. Like, you kind of reached out to me and had this idea. I thought, okay, this is a really cool idea to do, and I was definitely down to do that as well. Also, my co-host over at the Super Network, Super Marcy, was going to be here for this as well, but she's a bit under the weather at the moment, so she sends her regards. And yeah, she and I put
all
a list
best to her.
Yeah, so yeah. She and I put a list together of that we're doing for this episode.
Yeah, so I thought to myself, you know, like every year, firstly, this is going to be pretty different. I couldn't really decide whether this should be episode 33 or 32 and a half. But every Halloween, like, you know, lots of other horror fans, I love to make like a list of 31 films that I want to watch over the every day in October. And I was thinking, you know, well, what if I found 31 Australian horror films to watch? So I thought, oh, this would be a good idea. And then, like you said, I reached out to you and Marcy and thought, oh, this might be fun to just have a nice, simple, you know, easy podcast. I gave myself I don't think I discussed any ground rules at all with you guys, did I?
No, not really, other than it being that all the films need to be
Australian.
That was pretty much essentially it,
yeah. I cheated. I snuck in like a New Zealand film, I think. But do you normally do a list at Halloween?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I'm not sure when this episode will drop, but
before Halloween.
Yeah, before Halloween, yeah. I guess every year I do a 31 Days of Horror, so I always watch a movie, like a horror film every day throughout it.
Yeah.
But I do mine a little bit more insane compared to everyone else. Like, right. For the last 11 years, when it comes to my list, I technically watch 62 throughout the month. Because what essentially it is like I watch an old horror film, then a newer one on the same day. So it's kind of like a good example of me catching up with old horror films I've never seen before and kind of more newish ones that have been out for a little while that I just haven't had a chance to get around to watching. But what I kind of do is like, and I've been doing kind of this for the last few years, is that I try to find sort of thematic like similarities between the two of them, whether it be if they happen to be of the same subgenre or if they just have specific storytelling aspects that are similar to each other. So at the time of this recording, I've already just basically finished writing my list and I'm going to post it on supermarcy.com so people can see. But not only do I have those films, but I also have a bunch of bonus films, mainly films that are going to appear throughout the month of October, like on all the streaming services or in cinemas. So, yeah, I'm a little insane when it comes to my list. And I think there's like 80-odd movies on there now.
Oh, wow. And then if you add these, it's even more, right?
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, definitely. So,
yeah. It's so you don't really have any staple films. So, like, for instance, when I do my list every year, I generally, I know it's very cliched, I like to watch Halloween on Halloween night. And then I'll watch other staples like Trick or Treat and things like that. But then, I think your idea is great, actually, watching some older stuff.
Well, that's the thing, like, you know, I usually do try to tend to watch like Trick or Treat or Halloween before or after the whole month of October, because I try to fit a couple of years. I've tried to fit both in there, but I just never able to. So what I've decided to do is either on the very last day of the month, on the 31st, I my double feature for that day is two horror films that are actually set on Halloween.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of just do that to kind of make up for the fact that I probably don't get a chance to get around to watching either Halloween or Trick or Treat for that month.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to try and see if I can do this list plus my normal. I haven't made a list yet for the other one, but I might, maybe I'll just cheat and follow your list through.
That might be a good idea, actually.
Yeah. So what I thought we would do is I thought, well, maybe I've split mine into like groups of seven, except for the last three, obviously, because it's not an even number. Maybe we can do walk through them as, you know, like week one, week two, blah, 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 and just maybe there'll be obviously a little bit of discussion with each one and whatnot, and just see how we sort of come up with it. So I've kind of like started mine with, I thought, how could I not do an Australian horror month without starting with something which is like not classic horror, but I still think it's a horror film, which is Wake in Fright.
Yes.
And I thought that would be a great one to start the whole thing with. My first week is mostly kind of slashes, right? So I've got Night of Fear from 72. I've got, you can't do it without nightmares. You've got to have nightmares in there.
Yep.
I've got good old Houseboat Horror. And I thought this year, and I haven't seen it for years, and I found a copy of that. Remember Blood Moon?
Oh, yeah. Well,
from like, I think it was 1980 or something.
Yeah.
1990, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I think Umbrella might be releasing that on Blu-ray soon, because I think at Monsterfest this year, they've announced they're screening a 4K restoration of Blood Moon. Oh, wow.
So how cool is that?
If that is the case, it will definitely be coming out on Blu-ray very soon. And I mean, that one I haven't seen for a very long time, but it's one I've been meaning to revisit. But now knowing that there's a 4K restoration of it,
it's just way,
its way. So it's just, just keep a lookout for that when it hits.
Yeah. And then I have Cut, which I've never seen. I've had the Blu-ray for yonks. Mm. I've heard that it's not a great movie, but I thought, is it the one that's got Kylie Minogue in it or something?
She is.
And it's supposed to be really awful.
Right? Well, I have to say, like, I am an unabashed fan of Cut.
All right, okay.
It is one of those horror films, like when I started becoming a huge horror fan in my teens, that was one of the ones I gravitated towards too. Because I think at the time, because this was around, you know, the post-Scream slasher movement, and Cut was basically Australia's answer to that movement. And I was just like so obsessed with it. And like throughout the years, like I bought the on VHS, I bought it on DVD, like from overseas. I bought the Blu-ray when that came out. I bought the soundtrack to it. And I even went to the Q&A screening when MonsterFest did it, like the restoration screening of that 4 years ago. And funnily enough, they did that as a double feature with Houseboat Horror.
Okay, well, that's a great pairing. Maybe I should just switch them around and yeah, it's a nice pairing, actually.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They actually complement each other very well. So you could easily do a double feature of both those films.
And I'm closing out my 7 days with Alison's Birthday, which I saw recently, but I really like that movie. And it'll make sense when you see my day 8.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of grouped them. I thought, well, we go through these 7 days at a time. I thought it's probably the easiest. But I've kind of grouped some of them together as sorting. You can see the trends when you go through it. So what have you got for your first week?
Well,
or you and Marcy?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a definite overlap with some of our films from our list.
For sure.
Well, funnily enough, we had down on our list Wake in Fright is the very first film.
Oh, there you go. How's that? That's amazing.
But in terms of other films, we did put down The Loved Ones on there as well. Classic horror, modern horror from Australia. Then of course, we have Razorback in there as well, which, you know, we're big fans of as well.
Yep.
I also have Cut on the list as well. And I also have Next of Kin, which is one of my personal favorite Australian horror films. And
I love it.
One that I'm really glad that has kind of developed a following over the last few years, especially like overseas. also on the list, Houseboat Horror again. Because Marcy and I are absolutely obsessed with that movie.
So am I, especially the music.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And after that, we, in my opinion, probably one of the greatest Australian horror films ever made, Wolf Creek. And what else do I have here?
Was that your first seven, or you got a couple?
Just sort of checking the number. Yep, that's my first seven, yeah.
Okay, great. That's really good. Mm. Yeah, so I've got Next of Kin coming up, and that's probably one of my favorite Australian movies of all time. That's a great movie. Love it.
Oh, yeah, it's just a masterpiece in my opinion.
I just find the photography, the whole feel of the movie is great, and you get to see John Jarrett again.
Mm. And also, right. Like what I think is great about the film, because I think I first heard about it in the doco, Not Quite Hollywood. And I think what was one of the reasons why I wanted to check the film out was Quentin Tarantino in that film said that it was probably, in terms of the tone of it, it was probably the closest to The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's film.
Right. Okay. Tone. Interesting. Yeah.
And I could definitely pick that up in that film, but I would even say like it. It kind of feels to me like an Australian, like Lucio Fulci film.
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a mixture of so many different genres. Like it has a bit of a slasher. It has a mystery. It has a surrealism, supernatural elements. Like it kind of, it's a mixed bag of so many different subgenres.
It's almost like a greatest hits, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's very unpredictable as well.
Yeah, it is. First watch of that was fantastic for me. I can't remember. It was a long time ago, but I still remember it was great because for a while you're wondering what the hell's going on.
Sort of- I'll tell you this, Pete. When I saw it once, I absolutely loved it on the first go, but then I think I watched it again 3 years later. And I'm not even joking. Like, even though I had seen it 3 years prior, I completely forgot how the movie ended. So I was caught off by the twist of the film twice. Because I completely forgot about the twist.
That's awesome. So my day eight, and this kind of carries on from Alison's birthday, my next one is Celia, which I was a very surprising movie for me. We did that on the podcast ages ago now, but I love revisiting it. It's such a great movie. I'm not sure if it's a true horror movie, but it's kind of, you know, it's got that folk horror kind of feel to it. Mm. It's really interesting. And then, of course, I'm going in with Picnic at Hanging Rock. So that kind of gets me into that. And then I've got Next of Kin, which is kind of like gives me those four movies that are kind of not the same, but they kind of have a similar kind of feel to them. They're all a bit mysterious, you know. Mm. After Next of Kin, I've got Razorback. Then I've got Dark Age.
Yes.
And then I've got my little ring in from New Zealand, which is Black Sheep.
Yes.
And so I've got my little creature features for 3 days going on there. And then I've got Patrick. I'm really looking forward to those three. I was tossing up whether to find – I was looking for two. Originally I had Razorback and Dark Age, and I thought I really want a third creature feature sort of thing. And I was thinking, oh, will I do like The Reef or will I do – what was the one where the shark was loose in the supermarket?
Oh, Bait. Yeah.
Bait. I thought about that one and I was thinking of Boar and all this other stuff, and I thought, I'll just sneak in Black Sheep. So, so yeah, and then of course Patrick, which is a fun movie to watch.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I guess for my second week, I started off with a creature feature as well, and I'm kind of surprised you didn't pick this for your second week. It's another, and it's from the director of Wolf Creek, Rogue.
Oh, Rogue's a great movie, yeah.
And it is definitely a great killer crocodile movie, a giant crocodile movie, I should say. After that is a very little-known film. I don't think anyone else has seen this one other than Marcy and I, and we did like an episode of this for the To Be Tuesdays podcast. It's an indie Christmas horror film called Stuffings.
Oh, really? That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's the definition of a micro-budget Aussie horror film, but right. It's a really fun little movie with a really cool kind of satirical edge for it. It's on Tubi and also Prime Video, so it's easy to watch it there.
Easy to get, yeah.
Yeah, and it's about this couple who are like these social media influencers, and they decide on the Christmas weekend to go out camping outside of Adelaide, and they get besieged by Well, that's the thing there. The town that they go to, it has like all these stuffed Santa Clauses around, and the Santa Clauses come alive and kill everybody. Like, it is very, like I said, it's the definition of a very silly, low budget horror film, but it does have a lot of charm, and you can't help but get caught up in the silliness of it. And it is quite a lot of fun as well.
Okay, that sounds great. I'll have to check that one out for sure.
Yeah, my next one is Lee Whannell's The Invisible Man, which I guess some people could take issue whether it's a full-blown Australian horror film or not, but it's a co-production, and it is made by an Australian filmmaker, and it was shot here in Australia.
I was going to say it was shot here down south coast, New South Wales.
Right? Yeah, and also the Actor Awards recognised it that year, so I'm counting it as a pick for this list.
And it's such a good movie too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Because I always wondered when they announced that movie, because you've only, you know, I've only ever seen the old, was it in the 50s, The Invisible Man?
The 50s, I think, yeah.
30s, so that far back. And I was like, how are they going to pull this off? And I was totally surprised how they actually pulled it off. It was great.
Oh, yeah. It's a brilliant follow-up to Lee Whannell as a director after Upgrade. And, it's just so brilliantly done. It's very topical in what it sets out to do with its story. And and also just the how some scenes are staged, like the restaurant scene is, like, phenomenal. And it's pretty intense as well.
It's a great movie. I've got it. I'm going to have to watch it again now. I'll have to sneak it in. That's 32 days now.
Yep. Well, my next on the list is actually the very first Australian horror film ever made, Night of Fear.
Ooh. I had that in my first week. Yeah, well, how great is that?
Yeah, it's I think it's so – it's interesting watching that film, especially knowing the fact that it was originally made to be a pilot for a TV show, a horror anthology show that they were going to make, but apparently I think it was the ABC who made it, because I wrote a column about this film back in the day for the Screamcast, and basically the ABC found the pilot so intense and so gross that they were like, yeah, we can't air this, and they cancelled the show. That's why if you watch the film, it has the title Fright, then Night of Fear, because Fright was the name of the TV show it was going to be on.
That's great. I haven't had a chance either to look. I've got like two versions of this. I've got the old DVD from Umbrella, and I've got the upgraded, the Blu-ray they released. Now, I'm not sure what the difference in quality is like, but I know the DVD is it's like watching a VHS, basically. Oh, yeah. It's always been a dual release with
In of the Damned.
In of the Damned. And that one's really like watching a VHS if you look at the original DVD. So I haven't had a chance to catch up with the Blu-rays yet, which I've had in my collection for a while. But
I got the same Blu-ray as well. And I think they did restorations of both of them. So I'm very curious to see how both of the films look. And I think the reason why they always pair those two films together, because they're from the same director, Terry O'Rourke. So he directed both of them. So.
And they're reasonably short too, I think, because obviously Night of Fear is quite short, because obviously it was made for TV, right?
Yeah, so, I think it's about just over 50 minutes long.
Yeah, it's got that great shot of like Norman – is it Norman Yen?
Yeah, Norman Yen, yeah.
Holding the skull in front of his crotch. Like, no wonder it never made it to TV.
Yeah, and also it's kind of a precursor to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in a way, because it has that grotty, grimy feel to it. But what I think makes it even more interesting is there's no dialogue in the film at all.
Yeah, there's not one bit, is there? Yeah, that's right.
I think the only dialogue you hear is like on a radio bulletin, and that's about it. The next one on my list is Allison's Birthday, of course.
Okay.
Which is a film that I've seen a few times now, and it gets better and better with each viewing.
You guys did that on a copy. You guys did that on an episode of your Ozplot cast, right? I'm sure, because I've been listening to a couple of yours lately, catching up.
Yeah.
Because there's a few I missed, and I'm sure you did it on one of those.
Yeah, I think it was one of the last two or three episodes we did, and the shows have been on a bit of a hiatus for a little while, but we are going to bring it back very soon.
Oh, good.
So, because and continue on the journey of Ozploitation cinema. Yeah, we did that as a, that was a great discussion we had with Alison's birthday, because I'd seen it before, but Marcy and our special guest for that episode, Lindsay Wilkins, they had never seen the film before.
Right.
So yeah. It was interesting kind of watching this little folk Australian horror film. So
it's such a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
And yeah, it's great that it's everywhere. Like, not only is it on that, you know, the Blu-ray on, I think it's the all, it was one where it was released in the US, like a box set full of,
oh yeah, with all films. The all the folk horror stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's I can't think of the title of the box set.
I can't remember the title
right now. Yeah. But it's great though that it's kind of everywhere. I mean, you can watch the film on Prime Video, Canopy, Shudder, here, yeah. Like it's, and Tubi as well. Yeah. So it's easy to watch now.
I find it super atmospheric and just really and. Well, this is going back kind of listening to your episode about it, but the her grandparents, was it grandparents?
I think it was her aunt and uncle, yeah.
Yeah, the way they start out and then the way they end, it's very interesting. It's
well, my mind was blown, like, doing research, because the aunt was on the TV show Round the Twist.
Oh, yeah, I heard you mention that.
And it was so weird, kind of like, that's the great thing about doing the Ozploy cast, especially doing all the films in, wouldn't say chronological order, but I guess year by year. It's like, yeah. You get to see all the same actors basically working in multiple projects, or even just being introduced to actors who we would know later on down the track in other stuff. So, like, I think Bruce Spence has been at least in like 70% of the movies
he's coming in on each the show. Of these. Totally unrelated, but my wife and I have been, well, we've been doing it for quite a while now. We've started watching the X-Files from the very start, and yep. We're up to season 7 or something now. And the people that pop up in that show is amazing. Like, I was watching an episode, I think it was last week, and I was like, fuck, is that Ted White? Is that Jason from the final chapter? It fucking was, right? He was working in a servo. He was a service station attendant. It's like, and you see all these other people and you go, oh, who's that person? So you're sitting there half the time with IMDb looking people up. And
yeah.
And it's great. I've forgotten how great that series is as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. My next one for a bit of silliness for this mm-hmm. week, along with stuffings, is The Howling 3, The Marsupials.
Oh, yes. That's great. That was one of my favorite episodes I did in my podcast. That's such a great bad movie.
Yeah, like, it's one of those movies, like, you hear about it for so long. And, like, I will say, I mean, the first Howling film is a legit great film. The second one is a legit terrible film. So
that's
I've heard,
the one with, is it Sybil Denning?
Yeah, Sybil Denning and Christopher Lee. And my favorite story about Christopher Lee being in that film, just to go on a slight tangent, is that when he worked with Joe Dante on Gremlins 2, he actually personally apologized for Joe Dante for being in Howling 2.
Because all I remember from Howling 2, because I haven't watched it for so long, is they keep repeating the shot at the end of the movie near the credits where Sybil Denning's top comes off or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They do that, and also Christopher Lee wearing those very awesome 80s shades that he has. but with Howling 3, like, it's one of those movies, again, you hear about the infamy of this film, like, and I kept thinking, like, it's definitely not going to be a good movie, but is it as insane as people say it is? You watch it, and it is literally batshit insane.
It is. It's crazy, but it is pretty good. It's kind of fun to watch. It's interesting. There's some interesting, like, there's obviously throwback to the Aboriginal people and Dreamtime and all this sort of stuff, and the origin sort of thing and that sort of stuff in the movie. It's quite interesting, but yeah, it's really silly.
Oh yeah.
Especially the ballet scene.
Oh yeah. And also Dame Edna pops up towards the end for no apparent reason.
Watching the award. Oh, she on the award show?
Yeah, she's on the award show. Yeah. But right, I think it was because, like, Philippe Morin, and I probably butchered his name, so please forgive me. I think because he didn't have the best time on Howling 2. So he said, he would do Howling Free if he's given full creative control. So basically, like, he brought the film to Australia, have it set here, have a all-star Australian cast, and just went nuts with the story.
Well, that he certainly did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It is.
Yeah.
I would definitely say it's not a good film, but it's definitely a so bad it's good film.
Oh, yeah. It's not one of those bad movies that's just terrible to sit through.
Mm.
So it's actually enjoyable to sit through, even though it's terrible.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I guess my final film for the week is a film that it's surprisingly is probably, like, it's a little film that came out of nowhere when it was released, barely made a blip, but in the past 15 years since its release, it's basically become, like, one of the great Australian horror films of all time, and that's Lake Mungo.
Oh, yes. Now, I've got to admit, I've got this later in my list, and it's going to be a first watch for me. Can you Ooh. Believe it? So that is going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts on that, because there's a lot of great things about the film, and it's a great one to discuss if you ever do an episode on it down the track.
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about it. So there's a heap of episodes in all these. Well, half of these I've probably already done, but yeah, it's good. All right, so that's your second week. So I'm moving into my third week from number 15 on, where I'm into a couple of vampire movies. I'm into Thirst and then Daybreakers.
Nice.
Daybreak is a really interesting movie as well. I thought that was really a really great movie from – I can't remember the last time I saw it. It was probably, I think, over 5 years ago.
Yep.
But I remember enjoying it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Thirst is the same. I've had the Umbrella Blu-ray for yonks probably since it came out, but I still haven't had the chance to catch up with it. So – I've seen it before, but it was years ago, and looking forward to watching that again. That's an interesting movie, except for I still remember the scene of one of the, who was it? I can't remember the character, but getting electrocuted on the wiring.
And,
looking a little fake.
Oh, geez. And I know who it is too. Henry Silver. There you go.
Okay, there you go.
I should know this, but yeah, Henry Silver.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Thirst is actually, if we're doing double features, Thirst I would say would make a great double feature with Daybreakers, because there's a lot of similarities there too.
Yeah, it would be good. Yeah, so that's why I've got them together. So it'll be quite good to watch those. And then I'm into a bit of funny stuff. So I'm watching 100 Bloody Acres again, which I love, which is so funny. And that was a real discovery for me. I'd heard about it for years, never watched it until I did it for the podcast.
Mm.
And just loved it so much. It's such a great movie. And then Body Melt, which is just gross. But it's another one that's kind of like, I don't know, it's not so bad. It's not, I don't think it's at a level of Howling 3.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't even say it is a bad film.
Like, no, it's not really.
Yeah. Because I remember the first time I saw it in the early 2000s, I remember hating it the first time I watched it.
Right. But do you remember what you hated about it?
I think it was because, like, it has no plot, no characters. It's just, like, gross gore and stuff like that. And it, like, turned me off. But then I rewatched it, maybe less than 10 years later, and it just clicked with me. Like, I got what it was going for, and I could see that it was basically an absolute satire. And I didn't pick up the satirical stuff the first time I watched it, but the second time I totally did.
Penge, you can tell whether you're watching a US version or Australian version by what's on the TV in the house of the, like, the inbred people.
Okay.
There's, like, if you're watching the Australian version of it, there's hardcore porn on the TV.
Yep.
And that's been in the US version, there's something else on the TV.
Interesting. I'll have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have the old Umbrella Blu-ray from a few years back, so I'll have to have a look and see which version it is.
The Australian ones.
Yeah.
So. And then after Body Melt, I've got one of my other favorites, which is kind of borderline Australia, US, New Zealand movie, which is Strange Behavior or Dead Kids.
Yes.
Which is great. And I just love that movie so much for the dance scene. Which is fantastic. But it's not a bad little movie either. It's a fun It's a fun movie.
Well, I haven't seen that one in ages too, because I remember the first time I saw it was like, I think back on Foxtel years ago. This would have been around Australia Day. They decided to do, I think it was the Fox Classics. They decided to do a 5 exploitation film marathon.
Okay.
So they had this film, they had First, they had The Survivor, they had Turkey Shoot and Patrick all playing back to back.
Oh, wow.
And I watched all 5 that same day because I don't think I ever saw any of them until that day. So that was a very fun day watching all these different types of horror films and including Dead Kids, which, like you say, it is kind of an enigma because it definitely has an American feel to it, but it is produced by Australians, well, directed and written by Americans, but shot in New Zealand. So it's kind of this weird mashup of different, you know, having all those countries together just gives it an interesting feel of a film.
Well, they shipped in most of the actors
from
the US. Yeah. I'm surprised it got around any union laws, but I'm not sure whether the union laws around acting are as strong as they are here, because here it would have been almost impossible, right? Maybe that's why they did it there or something. I don't know.
I think so, yeah. I think also, based on what I read, Anthony Iannone, who produced a lot of the exploitation films, like I think with one of the films he did, I think it might have been Race for the Yankee Zephyr.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was like a thing in the Australian film industry at the time where, like, you can have international actors appear in your film, but you're only allowed 2, but he wanted more than just 2, and they wouldn't allow it. So he basically was like, he decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to New Zealand, get some money from over there, and I can just cast as many non-Australian actors I want the film. And he did that for the next few films he produced after that, including Dead Kids.
Right, yeah. Dead Kids is great. And like I said, it's all about the dancing scene and the lightning strike song. It's just fantastic. Then I've got Dead End Drive-In,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my faves, and Frog Dreaming to round out the week, which is not really horror, but I think it's got a nice Halloween-y kind of light vibe to it.
Yeah, and both of those films directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith.
We're getting there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I enjoyed Frog Dreaming when I first saw it, and I do have it in my collection. I still haven't seen Dead End Drive-In. But that's the thing, though. I've had some of these movies for so long. It's like I should have watched them by now, but knowing that I have the Ozboy cast,
episodes, yeah.
It's like I might as well just wait until we get to the episode on them and then watch them for the first time. So
yeah. I've got the I don't think it's been released in 4K yet, but I've got the Arrow video version of Dead End Drive-In.
Yeah, I have.
It's actually
really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got lots of extras and stuff like that. It's great. I just wanted to take a short break and thank you all for listening. Don't forget you can follow A Dingo Ate My Movie on social media. We're at Dingo Movie on Twitter, Dingo Movie Pod on Facebook and Instagram, and we're on the web at dingomoviepod.com. Don't forget also, if you'd like to support the show, leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, or more importantly, share the show with your friends. Of course, you can always buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/dingomoviepod. Once again, thanks for listening, and let's get back to the episode. So what do you got after your next slot?
Well, I have Patrick on my list as well, the original Patrick, and then I also have First on that list as well. Also, I have a Long Weekend on there too.
Ah, okay, there you go, yep.
Which is a great film. Dark Age, that one I have on there as well. That's another one where I appreciate more the times I see it because, like, I think the first time I watched it, I think, oh, yeah, it's kind of like a standard killer croc movie, but there's a lot of interesting things to it. And it's very rare to see a killer animal movie where in the third act, the main characters, despite the animal in question having killed people, they actually try to protect the animal from poachers.
And this movie as well, they actually kill a child in this movie.
Yeah.
Not in real life, of course, but just in the movie, it's quite
I think
quite
that was
shocking.
like when they showed that scene in Not Quite Hollywood, I thought that scene was horrific the first time I watched it. Like, I knew I had to see it because if you're going to show a scene where a kid gets eaten by a crocodile, like, you know, and that's going to get me interested to watch the film, especially the scene in particular and how it's done was just terrifying.
It is.
Then I guess that this was what Marcy and I put on our list. And I get this is another one you could question wherever it's a horror film, but I would say it definitely can be on this list because it's more about the horrors of the real world more than anything. Mm-hmm. So we put down The Nightingale.
Oh, I haven't seen that. What's it like? What's
it about? It is very full on. It's very unflinching about like how Irish immigrants were treated by the British when they moved here, but also how Indigenous Australians were treated by colonization as well. And especially because it's set in Tasmania where, you know, at the time all Indigenous tribes were basically wiped out from the island. Like it's a very hard film. It is very dark in terms of the subject matter. And also the very first 15 minutes of it are pretty full on. In terms, because, you know, there's sexual assault and a couple other things as well. But once you get past all that, I'm not going to say the film gets fun, but it is with the main character going on a path for revenge. So it is very satisfying in that way. So it is a very full-on film, but it is a very rewarding and important one. And speaking of more real-world horrors, Snowtown is the next one.
Oh, wow. I nearly put that on the list. It was sitting on the edge of my list for a while, and because that would be another first watch for me. So I'm going to have to really make sure I watch it. I can't believe when I was putting this list together how many I hadn't watched. I feel a bit bad having an Australian podcast and missing these movies, but then it makes more interesting when I do them down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, Australia has this thing about making really dark and gritty crime films, whether it be Snowtown or Chopper. Even though, yeah, they're kind of polar opposites because Chopper has a bit of dark humor in it as well, but something like Snowtown or The Nightingale or more recently The Stranger with Joel Edgerton and Sean Harris, like these are kind of crime or historical films that are just so dark in their subject matter. And being that Snowtown is based on a true story about the Snowtown murders. The bodies in the barrel, for those who don't know, it is pretty full on. And Daniel Henschel in the film is terrifying. Gives a very unsettling performance in that film.
Okay, interesting. That's something that's been on my list for a while, and definitely we'll have to catch up with it.
And finally, just to have a bit of levity after two very hitting Aussie horror films, we have the horror comedy Little Monsters with Lupita Nyong'o and Josh Gad. It's a lot of fun. I went to the I think it was like the centerpiece screening here at the Melbourne International Film Festival, and it is a lot of fun. Like, it doesn't do anything too new in terms of bringing anything new to the zombie genre, but it is a lot of fun, and the cast are all great. The kids are great in it as well. And it's kind of basically like to see how these adults are trying to protect these kids and shelter them from a zombie attack. It's silly, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay. When did that? Is that a recent, very recent film?
Yeah, I think, when did I see it at the film? I think it was like 2019 I saw that film.
Okay. Interesting. I'll get to make sure I get your list.
Yeah.
And put it in the show notes. Yeah, so we can have a look at this sort of stuff as well. So that's great. That's a good bunch of movies there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And continuing on with my Brian Trenchard-Smith little bit with Turkey Shoot, which is probably one of my favorite movies of his of all time. That's a great movie. It's so good. And of course, it has some actors that are probably in most of his movies and actors that have turned up in heaps of other movies as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it has who we like to call on the Ausboy cast, Stupid Sexy Roger Ward. That damn sexy Roger Ward, as I like to call him. He's been in a lot of movies we've covered on the show up to that point.
He has.
But Turkey Shoot's an interesting one because, again, that was one where I kept hearing for years, like, oh, this movie is like one of the worst Australian films ever made. But then when I actually sat down to watch it, I've had an absolute blast with it. I thought it was so fun, so over the top, and so violent as well.
Yeah. You know, like everyone says, it's effectively The Most Dangerous Game or whatever that movie was called. Yeah. And it's exactly, you know, but those sort of movies are great anyway.
And I think you are meant to be, because I think when we were putting our episode list together for the Ozploitcast, I think you said, oh, if you guys do Turkey Shoot on the show, definitely give me a call. And yes. I think that is coming up soon, so you have to watch that.
Yeah, plus, that's 1982, so that must be pretty close. Yeah.
So you have to watch that plus four other movies.
That's all right. Give me the list. Give me the list and give me time and I'll get it done.
Definitely. We'll let you know when it comes to that.
Yeah, so. Sounds great. After Turkey Shoot, I've got Rogue Games, which is, once again, one of my favorite movies. And, of course, anything with Jamie Lee Curtis in it is always good as far as I'm concerned, although I haven't seen Haunted Mansion yet. You've seen it.
It was okay. Like, it's like it's kind of more average, but above average. Like, it's okay.
Right.
But definitely one that you don't necessarily need to go out to the cinema to see. It's kind of a, like, I enjoyed the sort of the kid friendly horror vibe to it.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they could have done a bit more with it, to be honest.
Okay. My daughter, who's a big Disney fan and has, and well, I love it as well, the actual ride itself.
Oh, yeah.
She says there's so many throwbacks to the ride and the movie and stuff like that, which is interesting as well. Yeah, so anything she's in is great, including True Lies, but I can't put it in this list. Then after Rogue Games, I've got The Tunnel, which I just bought the Blu-ray from, the special Blu-ray from Umbrella, which I'm really looking forward to getting into, because another one that's been off my radar that needs to be on my radar, which is really, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I remember when that movie came out, because its release strategy.
Was it crowdfunded or something?
It was crowdfunded, but it was a film where the filmmakers allowed it to be put on torrent sites to be downloaded.
That's right. Yes.
Because they wanted the movie to get out there. Like, obviously, you know, they did have like distribution and stuff like that. But I think at the time, I don't know if this was before or afterwards, they were like, oh, well, it's probably going to be downloaded online.
Just let everyone have it anyway.
Yeah, just let anyone have it anyway. So they were like one of the first filmmakers to kind of just like, yeah, let's just put it on torrent sites for everyone to watch.
Yeah. After The Tunnel, then I've got Wolf Creek, because I just love that. And that's probably like, it's probably one of the best Australian horror movies made. It is a horror movie, I think. And it's just, it's one of John Jarrett's greatest things, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, he is terrifying in that movie, and I always keep telling people all the time, especially, like, friends of mine from overseas, I keep telling them, like, seeing John Jarrett in that movie would be the equivalent of people seeing Tim Allen in a horror film. That's what it was like for us, especially for years, because, like, I knew John Jarrett when I was younger was an actor, but I kind of primarily knew him for his hosting gig on Better Homes Than Gardens for so many years.
Exactly, yes.
So seeing him as a serial killer in a movie was definitely quite a whiplash experience.
Yeah. I wasn't a biggest fan of Wolf Creek 2. I thought it was almost, it's not a parody of the first one, but it almost felt like it because it was so played up. And I don't know what the third one's going to be like at all. So.
I could definitely see that with the second film, but I think I'd sort of come around with the idea is that the second film is kind of more in tone with, say, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, where it's definitely much more over the top with more dark humor. And also, you know, it's Drake McLean had more money compared to the first and just basically just went all out to make it as over the top as possible. So
it's got that great scene with the cops, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah, I think it's if you kind of see it in that kind of mold as a Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, it tends to work a lot better,
After Wolf Creek, I've got the movie I just did last episode, which is The Babadook, which I really enjoyed. And that was a first watch for me doing it for the podcast, so that was a lot of fun. It was interesting having a guest on that podcast that's into all things sort of paranormal, and she brought some interesting sort of takes to the movie. It was quite an interesting chat.
I did listen to that episode, and it was a great episode, by the way, and I loved hearing her perspective on the whole thing because, like, I guess with me, with the Babadook, is, like, I guess I kind of took it literal, like, oh yeah, it's just not really a creature. It's just, you know, a manifestation of her depression, guilt, and also her loss. But now that I sort of listened, it's like, yeah, now I can definitely see the point of people say, oh, it's a literal creature. Yeah. But the way how she sort of, your guests talked about it, it was really fascinating. That was a really good episode.
It's interesting because I'm not usually someone that, I'm always a little bit cynical of this sort of stuff. Mm. So I'm sorry if you're listening, Anna. it's just me. I always find it a bit cynical, but I thought, I've got to be open-minded to this conversation and respectful and you know, and I actually thought it was interesting. She made a lot of points in that I thought, oh, you know, it gave me pause to kind of think about things and think, oh, okay. And it's interesting. I'm looking forward to actually watching it again after that episode and talking to her and sort of probably having a different view of the movie, which would be good.
Oh, definitely.
After the Babadook, I've got Lake Mungo, of course, which we spoke about. And then I've got The Last Wave, which I just got from Umbrella. And I haven't watched this for far out. 30 years, something like that. I was watching the trailer for it today because I was looking through my list. I'm like, I'm missing something. There's something in the back of my head. And I thought, oh. And I just went and had a look at all my Blu-rays and I thought, oh. And then I thought, oh, that's it. It's The Last Wave. So I took something else out and put that in. And really looking forward to watching that. Have you seen that?
Oh, I haven't seen The Last Wave for quite a while, but I've been meaning to pick up the 4K Blu-ray of that, so I'll definitely will very soon. But yeah, that one I'm very much looking forward to checking out it again because I do love Peter Weir's work, so definitely interested to see it again.
I'm not sure it's true, like, you know, I think a lot of these movies you can't compare them. Like my normal Halloween list, I'm very cliched. I'm probably watching half a dozen Friday the 13th and all that sort of crap, right? Most of these movies aren't really that sort of thing, right? They're very different sort of take. And I'm not sure if any of these movies here would actually fit in to a normal Halloween viewing list. You know, maybe Wolf Creek or something like Next of Kin, one of those sort of movies. But interesting. So, yeah, so Last Wave, looking forward to that one. So what do you got?
I guess
getting to the final three.
Yeah, for my ones, I got Bait on the list as well.
Okay. I nearly put that in. I was like, I saw the trailer.
Yeah, because Marcy and I are big fans of it. And I mean, you can't go wrong with a very silly horror film where basically the premise is sharks in a supermarket. And it's from the director of Cut. So that kind of tells you everything.
It'll be a good double then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's very, very silly but enjoyable. I have the Babadook on the list as well.
Yeah.
I also have the zombie film Cargo with
I've seen that one, but I haven't seen the movie. That looks interesting to
me. Yeah, because it's an adaptation of the short film. I believe that won Best Film at the Trop Fest Film Festival a couple of years ago when that was on. So they made a film version of that. And it's a really interesting story about a father protecting his daughter and trying to, because he's been bitten by a zombie, he knows he's going to become one. So he has to try to find someone who could look after his daughter before he turns. And it's a pretty emotionally charged story, but it's a really effective one as well. And also as a zombie film, it's really good as well.
Ooh, okay, I'll have to check that out.
Next on the list is from the directors of 100 Bloody Acres, their follow-up film, Scare Campaign. Yeah, that one I think not that many people know of, but definitely seek it out because it's a really fun slasher.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. God, I'm really killing my cred, aren't I? So many of these films I haven't seen.
And it features a lot of, like it has Sigrid Fortin in there. It also has Cassandra McGrath from Wolf Creek, Olivia De Jong from recently in Elvis, but also she was in The Visit and a few other films as well. Oh, and Better Watch Out, another Australian-American horror film that I definitely recommend. That almost made my list. that one is, so definitely go into it without knowing too much because Scare Campaign's really good. Like, it's a really good film.
Okay, I'll check that one out.
I also had Nightmares on the list.
Oh, yeah. It's good. So good. Can't help it. I don't know what it is about that movie. I don't know if it's because I remember the ad campaign when I was young,
yep,
but I couldn't see the movie because it's like 1980. Oh, I would have been able to see the movie, 68, 70. Yeah, I would have been old enough for sure. But for some reason, maybe I wasn't as interested in horror then, but I do remember the ad on TV and stuff. But I just got this thing about that movie. It's so stupid.
It is. But what I kind of love about that film is you could do it as a double feature with the Spanish slasher film Pieces.
Yes, absolutely.
Or even one that Marcy and I are big fans of, Blood Rage. It's that very heightened and very silly kind of slasher film that you don't really see that much anymore, but it is so bonkers and just insane and hilarious that it's just so much fun.
The best thing about the Nightmares trailer is they basically give away what happens at the end of the movie in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. And doing like putting the trailers, like when I put ad trailers to the Ozploid cast and I actually sit there and watch the trailers, I say to myself, thank goodness I didn't watch the trailers at all, because these 3-minute bloody trailers like literally show the entire movie and all the spoilers.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. It's almost as bad. Like it's very rare I watch movies trailers these days of movies that I really want to go and see, because I find that even more than the 70s and 80s, I think they give away more of the movie. And then there's bits in the trailers where you go, oh, they've just made that to make it, like you see it in the movie. I always think it's funny that there was that line in Jason versus Freddy. What was it? Where the actress says, Jason versus Freddy, place your bets. She says it in the ad, but it's never in, it's not in the movie.
Yeah. So
I'm like, okay, they shot that just for the trailer.
Yes. Oh, and after that is actually one of the few that I can think of in terms of this particular genre, the vampire film Blood Vessel.
Oh, okay. Haven't heard of that one.
That one is – definitely seek that one out. I think it's – I don't know if it's still on Shudder Australia at the moment, but I think it's also on Prime Video as well. It's an interesting movie. I would say it's kind of a mixture of 30 Days of Night meets Overlord, because it's set during World War II. Where the survivors of a ship that got sunk during the war find this abandoned ship and they discover that there's a vampire on it. That kind of looks like the one from Bram Stoker's Dracula, with the Dracula's kind of full-blown vampire design. And it's a really cool little movie, a little anticlimactic, but it's still really good. And
still good.
Yeah, yeah, and it also has Robert Taylor in it, and also Nathan Phillips from Wolf Creek in it as well. Next up is one that definitely I don't think a lot of people have heard of, and it's one that I have to give a shout out to. It's a film that came out last year. It's a supernatural film called Surrogate.
Okay.
And this one I know is on Tubi, and it stars Kirstie Morassi, who was also in Wolf Creek. So in this bracket, I'm showing a lot of actors who were in Wolf Creek in other movies, who went in other horror movies. It's about this this woman played by Kirstie Morassi. She finds this person who is injured, tries to help them, but they died. But the thing is, what she realizes is that person had a ghost attached to him, like a spirit. And so now the ghost has attached itself to her. Yeah, it definitely has sort of James Wan type of vibes, but it's actually a pretty cool little indie Aussie horror film. And I kind of have to give it a shout out because the man who wrote and directed it, David Welling, was actually, he was my former mentor, because he, I did a couple of short film classes back in the day with directing and screenwriting, and he was the teacher on those. And I also helped him out on a couple little projects and stuff. So yeah, so I am definitely not picking this movie due to their biases. It's actually a surprisingly good little movie, and I was pretty impressed by it. And finally, I had to think about this because I think if it's going to be the last film of the month, it needs to have a set at Halloween. And there's very few Australian horror films that are set at Halloween, except for one, which is a film that I saw first, then introduced it to Marcy. She absolutely loved it. And that's the horror drama Boys in the Trees. This one is kind of a little hard to find every now and again because it did get a cinema release and I did see it there. But it's never been released on physical media in Australia. But I remember it was on Stan for a while. I don't know if it still is, or not, but I know like overseas it was on Netflix for a while and a few other places, but it's a really cool sort of film that mixes horror, drama, coming of age, and it really fully embraces Halloween.
So that's your 31. I think I've still got three to go.
Yeah.
So I've got my final three to bring it home. I've got Long Weekend, so you can't not have that in the list.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd get really super current because I've got it on order and hopefully I'll get it in October, which is Talk to Me, because I missed that in the cinemas. And it looks really good, actually. You've seen it. You enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed it a lot. And it definitely is worthy of all the hype it's getting. And it's great to see an Australian-made horror film with a full-blown Aussie cast, filmmakers and all that. That's not only done pretty well. It's done pretty well here in Australia, but it's done better elsewhere, including the US.
Yeah, I didn't go as far with the collector set of getting the hand prop and all that sort of stuff, but looks good. And then I'm rounding out my whole 31 Days with the Loved Ones, which is, again, just such a great movie. I really love that movie. It's probably one of the better villains in Australian cinema history. She's just something else.
Yeah, Lola is an icon. And it's too bad. Well, I'm not going to say what happens in case those who haven't seen it. Let's just say we should have had more sequels to this movie with her.
Yeah. And her creepy dad.
Oh, yeah. John Brunton, who I've actually met in real life, and he's a really nice guy.
It's another one. It's such a great movie. And I think about a lot of these movies with the music, and there's nothing like opening up with a movie that's a horror movie with two people in a car listening to Lonesome Loser by Little River Band on the radio.
Yes, I love it when a film does that. And also every time Casey Chambers' Not Pretty Enough plays like anywhere, I just, I mean, I love the song already, but I just always think The Loved Ones every time I hear
that song. I can't hear it with anything else going in my head now these days. If I hear it anywhere, that's the first thing I think of is that movie. A few that missed out for me, I was really keen to try and get, have you seen One Night Stand? It's from like 1980 something.
No, but it is on the docket for the Osboy cast.
Okay, which is great. I love that. And I was going to pair it with These Final Hours. Mm. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have seen that, yeah.
These Final Hours is very much a downer movie in a way.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a really well-made film. Mm. And I was keen to get those two in, but I really just couldn't find anywhere to put them. So it was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you missed out on that you didn't want to miss out on?
Yeah, I would also say like another kind of real horror type of thing, or at least horrors of the real world, is Hounds of Love, which is not particularly based on a true story, but it's inspired by true events, and it's a really dark and disturbing film, so that would definitely be on the list. Better Watch Out, which I did mention before, good. Like, it's definitely made by Americans, but it was shot here, and outside of Virginia Madsen and Patrick Warburton, who were in that film, all the young cast are Aussie actors, and a lot of them have gone on to do big things, and it's a really fun movie. Relic is another one. I think that's a really
Relic's great. Yeah.
That's a really strong one. Killing Ground is another one that I thought was really good. Dark and disturbing, but pretty good. And just a little looky on my letterbox just to see if anything sort of pops up. Undead, the Sparrow Brothers first film.
That was something I was going to have on my list as well, and I couldn't find room yet.
That one I definitely recommend everyone to check out as well. And I get Sissy, which is another recent one that's really good. And I guess finally, in terms of my list, actually a film that I actually watched at the Melbourne International Film Festival recently is a film called Late Night with the Devil. That's the Coen brothers, who made 100 Bloody Acres and Scare Campaign. It's their third film. And it's sort of like, it's set in America, and it stars David Dastmalchian, who's kind of been popping up everywhere in a lot of things over the last few years, like as that guy kind of actor in American films. And he's the lead of this one. And what's cool about this film is that it's a It takes place in the 1970s, and he's the host of like a kind of a Johnny Carson, Don Lane type of talk show. So he does a show on Halloween and decides to have an exorcism done live during an episode. And it's a lot of fun, and David Desmalchian is great in it. And it was really cool to kind of see like the Coen brothers kind of progressing more as filmmakers with this one.
They made some good movies.
Oh, yeah. And also, it's set at Halloween, so it could...
There you go. You could have fit in. Yeah.
I could have, yeah, but it hasn't been released yet, so I figured I'd just go for ones that haven't been released as a... I mean, that have been released, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for someone. I'm sure someone will tell me I should have put Bad Boy Bubby somewhere in my list, because for some reason everyone likes that movie.
It kind of surprises me. Like, I mean, I haven't seen the movie for a long time, and I don't think it's a bad film at all. Like, it is a good movie. But I always find it weird. It's like, oh, yeah, Bad Boy Bubby, that's a great movie. It's like, but that movie is, like, so weird and creepy and disturbing. Yeah,
I get people saying, when are you going to do that on your podcast? I'm like, well, one day. But then I also get people asking me if I'm ever going to do Crocodile Dundee.
I mean, that is an obvious choice that you don't necessarily need to do just – I mean, you don't need to do right away.
Yeah, I did Young Einstein, so there's just as much chance I'll do. But then I think Young Einstein's definitely a better movie than Crocodile Dundee, as far as I'm concerned anyway. Mm. Cool, cool. So I'll do the usual thing. Where can people find you and Marcy, I suppose?
Well, if people want to find both mine and Marcy's shows, they're all on the Super Network on all podcast streaming services everywhere. We have quite a number of shows. We have the Super Podcast, which is the flagship show for the network, and then we have all of our other spin-off shows like the Ozploitcast, which we've mentioned before, which is on our podcast on Ozploitation cinema. Then we have the King Zone podcast, which is our podcast on the film and TV adaptations of Stephen King. Then we have Podcasters of Horror, which is our podcast on horror anthology film and TV shows. Then we also have probably one of our most beloved series, the To Be Tuesdays podcast, which you have been a guest on before.
Yeah, I have. That was great. What did we do without warning?
So that was a fun one. Well, some of those shows have been on hiatus for a little bit, but we are bringing those back, particularly Ozploitcast, which I'm excited to get back to.
I don't know how you have time, because like me just doing this one is like, getting an episode out every month is like full-on work for me. And I've recently had an idea for a second podcast, not movie-related at all, but and I'm like, how am I going to fit it in? I'm going to try and fit it in. I've got a good idea about doing a certain sort of music podcast.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so it should be interesting.
Yeah.
And that's more my passion, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how I manage it sometimes, like hosting five podcasts plus my solo podcast, Bead versus the Living Dead. But now I'm working on a seventh show that's actually going to be a spin-off to Bead versus the Living Dead, but I can't divulge what that is right away, but it will be revealed very soon. So, yeah, I've got like seven shows. I don't know how I fit it all in.
I don't know how you do it. And you've got to try and... You got to try and find a day job in there to bring.
And I do. I work 5 nights a week, but I only work for like a few hours, like casually.
Yeah.
So I'm able to kind of fit the podcasting editing around it. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty nonstop. Yeah. I can tell you that.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show. It's great, and this has been a fun episode. I just thought it'd be fun to do and get out before Halloween. So hopefully I'll get it out this weekend, and it might, you know. I mean, if anyone's listening has got an idea or they want to share their 30, if they can come up with 31 Australian movies for Halloween, I'd love to hear them.
It'd be great. Or at least if the ones on our list, like give people suggestions to check out too.
All right, Bede, thanks so much for coming on. I'm sorry, Marcy, you couldn't make it. Hope you're feeling better, and we'll talk real soon. Thank you, everyone.